When we talk about tefillah, of course we talk about so many different dimensions, but today we're going to focus on an aspiration for tefillah, at least for me, because I'm not on this level. But the Bayam Darkecha has a comment where he says, we're now going to address something that's very deep. Whenever I see that, I'm like, all right, forget it. No, I'm not going to get this. So I'm going to try to understand this with you on a basic level, on a practical level, on something that's a little close to us, which is, you see, we're on page Resh Chaf, after the bold. His boyer, it becomes clear, Sha'omek Avodas HaTfila, the depth of the work of Tfila, who is Lizkos, to arrive, to achieve, Lahakara V'Hargasha Amuka Yoser, a deeper feeling and recognition, B'Metzias Hashem Yisbarach V'Yichuto, we should really come to this consciousness of Hashem, umemela lidveikus bo, connecting with Hashem, and now he says the key for us, this new level. Vihine, top of the second column, beemes, in truth, tachlis avodas hatfilah, the goal of our approach in tefillah, lahadgia, to arrive, lahargashas haor haeloki betfila, that we should sense the light of Hashem in davening. Ad, to the extent, kidei hispashtus hagashmius, lehit pashet, literally means to undress, to remove, to peel away the levels of physicality.
Clear your mind. Get all the garbage out.
And to the extent, he's talking, really to the extent that you're no longer identify as physical. Mm-hmm. That's, right? Dahainu sha'adam yargish rak as Hashem Yisbarach. Now this is the highest of the high. Dr. Twersky, in the beginning of his book on tefillah, he quotes, I forget which Rebbe, one of the Rebbes used to say goodbye to his family before he would go davening. Because he was hispashtas hagashmius, he didn't know if he was going to come back to this world. So this is a high level that I don't know how much we can reach that level, but on our level, I think there are ways to think about this idea on a very, very simple, like, level of crumbs. We're not eating the cookie over here, but we can pick up the crumbs. The first idea of hispashtus agashmius that we can consider, the hispashet means to disrobe, to let go. On the most basic level, we walk into shul, most of us, and we carry something that is a portal of information and attention and interest that is almost exclusively, at least vis-a-vis tefillah, gashmi. Right? That's it.
So Shabbos is easy.
Right? But this is maybe our first challenge. Where is the hispashtos hagashmius if we are literally tethered to, if we have a channel, a portal, depending on how nefarious the device is, that's how you're going to use the image, of something that's leeching onto us, that's sucking our attention away from us, that is so powerful that even when it's not in our pocket, we think that it is. We have the phantom buzz happening in our pants.
So was people, I mean, I should ask the kahila here. Was it easier to daven pre-cell phone? That's the question.
So long.
Right.
Was it that much better?
Well, it was a cell phone back in the day.
Right. Right.
Well, I would say every generation probably has their own distractions.
Right. But this one's a real...
But exactly. But this is, at least this in my point, mind, when I see this, this is the first level of defense, right?
So you could even make the argument that it's a different distraction. Like, they talk about... one of the rabbis, he welcomes back his chassid after their davening.
Exactly.
He says, Shalom Aleichem. He said, why are you saying Shalom Aleichem?
Because
when we were in davening,
you were in
Anatevka.
In Leipzig, in the market. Exactly.
So that
of course there was distraction. Of course.
Now it's on steroids.
It's exactly. So it's hyper.
So you leave in the car, right?
So you have a couple of options. Let's talk practically. One is leave in the car. Another one is some shuls, they have like lock boxes outside.
I put it in a basket.
Another option, even if we're not on that madriga, is to put it on airplane mode. Just the act of putting it on airplane mode and taking it out of your pocket, That is a way of creating distance, of gaining some separation, of hispashtus from the clutches of the distraction. So if you take the thing on airplane mode, you take it out of your pants pocket and you put it somewhere that it's out of view. So now you have done a maisa to be misalak yourself from that. Hopefully that can at least help. But the idea that a person is going to daven from a cell phone and that the cell phone is on and getting notifications, aside from the halacha question, are you allowed to hold a phone while you're davening, which is an interesting discussion in halacha, it's impossible to have hispashtus hagashmius. It's totally impossible. So this is, I think, on the first level. But then on the second level, I think it's not just physical. I think even for us on our Madrega, whatever our Madrega is, there is a values question here. I'm going to use the term hispashtus hagashmis in a metaphoric sense. The idea that this paragraph is trying to say is that we should get to a point that our total focus for these 30 minutes, 35 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour and a half, whatever it is in this space is just on our neshama. Rav Kook writes in the introduction to the Olas Riya, to the Siddur, that all day our neshama is yearning and striving and wishing and speaking and calling. It's just that when we daven, we let it out. That's the time when it comes out. So hispashtus hagashmius can mean the values of our neshama, which are emerging. There used to be a way of framing this issue. When we lived in New York, what was the way of talking about this? Can you daven for the Yankees to win the World Series? That was the way it was framed when we lived in New York. So that was the question, or the Maple Leafs, or the Cubs.
Some of the stuff you're davening for is
gashmius. Oh, great. So we're going to have to get to that in a second. Good. But before that stuff, we're going to get to that in a second.
Are you allowed to?
So here's the question. I'm going to leave aside the question of, are you allowed to daven for the Yankees to win the World Series? So first of all, I would reframe the question. Are you allowed to daven for the Yankees to lose the World Series? Because that's, I would say, maybe a more noble pursuit, but I'm not going to get into that machlokes. But the idea that what is important to us, we're talking about a bunch of men who are not related to us, who are not Jewish, we have never met, we have no vested financial interest, who are standing on a piece of grass, throwing around a ball.
Why would you do it?
What? If we're thinking about the goal of tefillah as hispashtus hagashmis, of letting go of the gashmis, what that means is we need to set our priorities straight.
Right.
Davening at this time is to be honest with ourselves from a priority standpoint. I'm not going to answer the question of whether or not halachically it is permitted or impermitted to ask God to help a particular sports team win. The question is, where is a person in their frame of mind? Where's this hispashtus hagashmius if that is what they're talking about? So I would suggest that on our level, hispashtus hagashmius means that we come back to our inner neshama, which is finally getting a chance to breathe in a world that's so complicated and so busy and so distracted. And we're listening to our neshama, and our neshama is talking about what's important in life. And so the first thing is that we're davening about things that are important, not about things that are stupid and irrelevant.
I remember in Yeshiva, they wrote down Shmuel Esrei, and they said, put notes in your sitter about things that each one is irrelevant to you, because then it focuses you to think about those things instead of just running through it.
And that gets us to the next level, which you were alluding to before, which is, okay, of course, a lot of davening is bakashos for inyanim gashmiim, for physical needs. But why are we asking for those things? What's the motivator? What's the frame? Why are we asking to lead this kind of life? If the hispashtus hagashmius means I've let go of the physical orientation, the physical drive, and I'm looking at it from a more inspired place, a more spiritual place, it's a spiritual lens, then you know why I need parnasa? Because the Ribbono Shel Olam has given me the opportunity to help other people. He's given me the acharias, the responsibility to take care, to give tzedakah. Well, if it's about ruchnius, then how much parnasa do I really need? What car do I really need to drive? How big does my house really need to be? What class do I need to sit on? Like, whatever it is, if there's a hispashtus agashmis from a priorities level, each of these bakashas takes on a new frame. It also affects, by the way, even on the practical level, when you're talking about some of these bakashas, if you're not thinking of it spiritually, then a lot of the bakashas, they don't really resonate. The bakashas about asking for Mashiach, well, if you're not spiritually attuned, why do you care? And which is probably why some of these bakashas are harder for us to concentrate on, and we should put notes in the Siddur.
Why would you ask for something that you know, l'chakchila, is way out of your reach? Make it real.
So good. So I think there are probably two levels. One is we should aspire for exactly what is described there, and nothing should be considered out of our reach. That's number one. But on a more practical level, like this says in the Shulchan Aruch, you should add your personal bakashos into the Shemona Esrei. The point is just, I'm not addressing how and why to put in the particular bakashos. What I'm saying is that all of the discussion here should be from the perspective of Ruchnius. Right, a person could put in bakashos about the Yankees, but is that bakasha, is that request coming from a place of hispashtos hagashmius, or is that coming from a place where the person is so wrapped up in olam hazeh? And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with going to a Yankees game or, you know, having time for recreation, but if you talk to a great tzaddik, they would look at you like you were strange.
So you're what Shlema to people, you're talking about, you know, in the bracha, healing other people that are not necessarily you. So how does that play out then?
So I think it's the same thing, which is, if you look at the bracha of refuah from a spiritual lens, we're looking at other Jews and we say, wow, that person is really a neshama. That neshama is a part of my neshama. And the Ribono Shel Olam is the source of all the neshamas, so we're all interconnected. And if that person is suffering because they have illness, so then I'm suffering. And so I should feel that. And so I'm davening for them to have a refuah because their light that Hashem gave them to bring out into the world is going to be diminished if they're not here. And if they're too ill to come to be part of the kehillah, they're too ill to come to daven, if they're too ill to do chesed, then their light is being diminished. So I'm asking the Rebbe Shlom, you gave us a world that was, you know, the Rebbe Shlom gave us a world that has brokenness, it was broken. Because you want us to mend it, to fix it, to transcend it. Like my little 7-year-old, he said to me, oh, he's very sensitive about thunderstorms. So he said to me, there was a thunderstorm on the end of Yom Tov, and then after Yom Tov, he said to me, why does Hashem make lightning if lightning can hurt people? Why does Hashem make lightning if lightning can hurt people? So I tried to explain to a 7-year-old, Hashem makes the world, and lightning has energy, but in a world, it's also dangerous, so you have to be careful, and Hashem makes the world, so we learn about it, and we try to deal with it, and it's hard for a 7-year-old to understand that. But the point is that if you're looking at all of these things from a spiritual vantage point, from the hispashtus hagashmius, then you mamish, you feel that Jew on the inside. That's the perspective. And then all of a sudden, the priorities, they start to fall in line. As once, in the Mechitzasa Shal Adam Gadol, in the presence of the Stuchina Rebbe. Stuchina Rebbe is amazing Adam Gadol. He lives in Borough Park. And he made an offhand comment, which was so interesting. He made an offhand comment, and it made a rosham on me. It really resonated with me. He said, you know, great tzaddikim, they don't make a big deal about food. It was such an interesting line. Like, today, we are obsessed with food. We are in a food-obsessed culture. There are magazines about food, blogs about food. We're all obsessed about food. But from a hispashtos hagashmius standpoint,
it's just nothing more than fuel.
Yeah. Right. So why do you want to make nice food? You want to make nice food for achnasas orchim, for kavod Shabbos. From a spiritual perspective, food has value. But just to obsess about food for no higher purpose, so then what is that? Right? If you have someone who's coming, you want to make them feel chashuv, so you make them a special dish, a special salad, a special meat, a special whatever, right? You want to have lekavod Shabbos. But it's about the perspective. Where is it coming from? Is it coming from that I need another physical sensation to be stimulated? So I had this food and I ate it too many times, so I need something different. So I'm not saying we don't struggle with these things. We all struggle with these things. But I think what this piece is calling us to is that when it comes to davening, can we take a few minutes and start to build within ourselves greater spiritual sensitivity, greater spiritual awareness to help orient our day? And if this is the case, then davening can be very powerful in terms of the influence and the impact that it'll have on our whole day, on our whole journey in life. Because before we start the day, we have a few minutes to think, Ribbono Shel Olam, my neshama can breathe and think about what is hispashtus hagashmius, what is spiritual today. Then you have mincha right in the middle of your day. It's a big interruption. It says, Ribbono Shel Olam, wow, it's been a crazy day. I haven't had any time for any hispashtus hagashmius. But now I'm going to get back to a little. And then before you go to sleep, you have Maariv, Ribbono Shel Olam, I don't know, maybe I failed today totally in hispashtus hagashmius, but I'm going to come back to that place of hispashtus hagashmius. Imagine if we developed that habituation. And maybe one practical point, and we'll end with this, is to ask ourselves a question. Before we start Shmona Esrei, before we start Hashem Svasai Tiftach, can we create that hispashtus hagashmius? Can we check and make sure that my cell phone is on airplane mode and it's out of reach? And maybe we can even verbalize or imagine in our minds the words, am I ready for hispashtus hagashmius? Can I create hispashtus hagashmius? Can I have time for ruchnius? And just take a quick breath. And then all of a sudden, the Shmon Esrei, it's going to be all of those practical bakashos. We need wisdom in Atachonin to be able to navigate the complexities of life. We need health. We ask for refuah, especially people who are suffering from something acute. We need parnasa. We need all those things. But they can come from a place of ruchnias. That's the goal. The great tzaddikim, of course, they're asking for the same brachas, but they're coming from a place of ruchnias. So halavai, we should be able to aspire to this level. And just taking the time, the few minutes, I think it's helpful to reframe for us, to remind ourselves of what davening at this high level is all about. And that's the lefnei mi'ata omi lehispalel. Who are we davening in front of? Meaning that is hispashtus hagashmius. Shkoyach.